All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. I got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
All right, and we've got articles. I'm sorry we didn't have any last time, but we got them, and I'm ready and raring to go. So Italy is unveiling its first sex room for prisoners. What? The handcuffs will come in handy. Italy unveiled its first sex room for prisoners after a court ruling said that those who are locked up have a right to intimate meetings. The consummating chamber was christened on Friday in a pioneering prison in the city of Terni in the central region of Umbria.
Instead of the hole, they throw him in the sex chamber. No! No! Don't throw me in the sex chamber!
When an inmate's female partner was permitted to enter. So these are female partners.
It's a conjugal visit station, basically.
Yes, yes. The erotic experiment was so successful that the jail is already planning more conjugal visits. We can say that it's a sort of experiment that went well, and in the next few days, there'll be other meetings. Okay, well.
Billy and Bobby.
We're happy because everything went smoothly, but it's necessary to maintain the maximum privacy to protect the people involved. The court's January 2024 ruling stated that jailbirds should have the right to intimate rendezvous with spouses or long-term partners without prison guards keeping an eye on them. It also detailed that the pair must have access to a room that stays unlocked with a bed and toilet for up to 2 hours. Most European countries such as France, Germany, Spain, the Netherlands, and Sweden already follow the practice. Last year, Italian Parliament approved a law to improve conditions in prisons as they're notoriously overcrowded and experiencing a surge in inmate suicides.
I bet they're experiencing a surge in intimate encounters in prison.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. Ronaldo, come over here. Let's go to the sex dungeon.
Okay, surprising to no one, new research is bad news for vegans, even if you eat plant-based protein. Hold the tofu. New research suggests that vegans may be more likely to suffer from nutritional deficiencies than their meat-eating counterparts. Wow, who would have thought?
Well, even though stuff has protein, it doesn't absorb the same as when you absorb it through meat.
Right. Worse still, scientists found that even vegans who hit their daily protein goals with plant-based sources often fall short on two essential amino acids, putting their health at risk. In the U.S., an estimated 1% to 5% of the population follow a vegan diet, which eliminates all animal products, including meat, dairy, and eggs. 1 to 5 fucking percent. Over the years, researchers have found that following a plant-based diet can reduce the risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and some cancers, as well as help with weight management. In fact, one study found that eating a vegan diet can improve your health in just 4 weeks. But meat eaters have argued that animal products provide essential nutrients, particularly proteins, vitamins, and minerals, that are tough to get in sufficient quantities from a plant-based diet. A new 6-month study out of Australia might just support that claim. Researchers tracked the diets of 240 adults aged 30 to 75, ranging from strict vegans and dairy-eating vegetarians to good old-fashioned meat eaters. Mm-hmm. As expected, the plant-based group consumed far more vegetables, fruits, legumes, and nuts compared to their meat-eating counterparts, while also being more likely to avoid sugary drinks and junk food. Vegans and lacto-vegetarians also had higher intakes of fiber, folate, magnesium, vitamin E, iron, and omega-6 fatty acids compared to their meat eaters. However, the same groups were also deficient in several essential nutrients. Compared to meat eaters, vegans and lacto-vegetarians consumed significantly less protein-rich foods. They also had lower levels of vitamin B12, iodine, niacin, riboflavin, and omega-3.
No, niacin's good for... erections.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
While higher in beneficial nutrients in whole food groups than regular meat eaters, it may lead to nutritional inadequacies if not planned appropriately, the study authors concluded. Think you're getting enough protein on a plant-based diet? Don't get too comfortable just yet. Researchers in New Zealand analyzed the diets of nearly 200 long-term vegan Kiwis and found that about 3/4 of them only met the daily recommended protein intake from plant-based foods like tofu, lentils, legumes, and meat alternatives. But here's the twist. Once digestion was factored in, only about half of the participants were getting enough of the two essential amino acids, the building blocks of protein called lysine and leucine. Leucine is key for making protein and growth hormones, and it plays a vital role in muscle growth and repair. wound healing, and blood sugar regulation. Lysine, on the other hand, yes, is crucial for hormone production, energy, and calcium and immune function. Problem for vegans, researchers explain, is that only a small fraction of the already low levels of these amino acids in plant foods is being absorbed by the body, while the rest is simply passed out. Achieving high protein quality on a vegan diet requires more than just consuming enough protein, the study authors wrote. It also depends on the right balance and variety of plant foods to supply all the amino acids and the qualities that our body needs. Prolonged deficiencies in lysine and leucine can disrupt protein balance, hinder muscle maintenance, and affect other vital functions, the researchers warn. These risks could be even greater for vulnerable groups like elderly vegans. The researchers called for further investigation on how vegans can boost their intake of leucine and lysine in a nutritionally balanced way. In the study, legumes and their seeds were found to be the top contributors to overall protein and lysine intake. However, some experts caution that the findings from New Zealand should be taken with a grain of salt. Professor Tom Sanders, a nutrition expert at King's College London, pointed out a few limitations, such as the lack of an omnivore group for comparison. He also noted that the study didn't account for the role of gut bacteria in lysine production and relied on self-reported data, which he said can be less reliable. Well.
Of course, and a lot of stuff they get soy-based, too. Yeah. Soy, if you're a dude, it produces estrogen. You don't want estrogen in your body. Make you a girl. Give you bitch tits.
Cinema has a physical media problem. Do you remember the first copy of a movie you bought? For me, it was a DVD of Calendar Girls, a film about a group of middle-aged women in Lancashire, to which I, as a 10-year-old in Texas, was inexplicably drawn. I watched it over and over. It got scratched because I had zero sense of responsibility, and there was a scene that took place in some kind of shed, which always skipped. When I was even younger, my brother and I would watch Shrek on a VHS. Sometimes we'd do our future selves a solid by rewinding the tape when we finished watching it, feeling extremely smug for being so forward-thinking. My parents still have that tape in a cupboard somewhere, and there's no way I'm letting go of it. There is something very personal about a DVD collection. Same way that there's something personal about a vinyl collection or a book collection.
Yep.
It isn't just about showing off your house guests how obscure your knowledge or refined your pop cultural tastes are, and it isn't just about materialism either. There's something fundamental about holding something physical in your hands. By the way, I just bought 2 Blu-rays. I bought the Blu-ray for Subservience, and I bought the Blu-ray for Companion. I've got them both now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Both sitting right
there.
Didn't
know they came out.
Yep. There is something fundamental about holding something physical in your hands. Sonic 3 also came out, too. There is a permanence about it, and Batman Ninja and a couple other things.
Yeah, but, Batman Ninja.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of stuff that came out. There is a permanence about it that you don't get with a digital copy. You know that you can always go back to it, read the cover, watch the director's commentary if you're really serious about it, and reinforce the personal connection you have with it. When streaming services began to emerge in the 2010s, it seemed like a new golden age for cinephiles. You no longer had to spend $15.99 on a DVD you weren't sure you were going to like, or drive to the video store or the library to rent it. You didn't even have to order a copy through Netflix's DVD by mail service and wait several days for it to arrive. Just a few clicks and a few dollars and it was on your screen. Now that almost everything is on streaming, though, clear problems have started to emerge. For one thing, rights issues mean that movies bounce around from platform to platform, sometimes disappearing from services altogether, even if you're supposedly purchased them. In reality, you never actually own a film on a digital platform. All you're doing is licensing it from the streamer, and the streamer can revoke that license anytime it wants.
Yep. I've been wanting to watch Westworld, and I had it saved on HBO Max,
and it gone.
Then they took it off.
Yep. Sometimes platforms even remove their own content despite owning the rights. Disney pulled dozens of its own movies and series from Disney in 2023, while HBO came under fire this year for pulling every episode of the seminal cartoon series Looney Tunes from its platform in a reported attempt to move towards adult content. If you don't have physical copies of Looney Tunes, you'll be forced to watch low-quality truncated clips on YouTube. Another issue is that some films are stuck in rights limbo indefinitely. Actually, that's false. There's plenty of good quality stuff on Internet Archive. People have been restoring the old Looney Tunes cartoons. Mm. Another issue is that some films are stuck in rights limbo indefinitely and can't be found on any streaming platform. Alfred Hitchcock's Rebecca, Ron Howard's Cocoon. Really? Damn, I've got them all. Right. I've got DVDs of all. I'm pretty sure they're on Internet Archive, though, guys. So
I think when Cocoon came out, I just couldn't get into it. And I was so young.
Well, there was a bunch of them. And David Lynch's Wild at Heart, which is a really hard one to find. Mm. Yeah, I've got that, though. I found it on Internet Archive. Are just some of the high-profile movies that can't be streamed in the U.S. right now. A few weeks ago, I was trying to find a classic screwball comedy, The Thin Man, in the UK, but I discovered that there was nowhere to stream it. You can't even find it on YouTube. Well, I know y'all have. Let's see. Well, no, we found another Thin Man. Another Thin Man.
I think once you release it to the world, you shouldn't be able to take it away.
The Thin Man. Well, that's the book. Okay. So, I was just trying to see if we actually had it. Detective Mystery Stories. Shadow of the Thin Man. Now, I'm not sure if she was talking about... Well, see, there's the actual Thin Man from the Warner Archive. You see how you see it there? And they have After the Thin Man and another. But I guess they don't have it in the Internet Archive either. Which doesn't surprise me. They have Return of the Thin Man. There it is. Edward Ellis, The Thin Man, 1934.
The Thin Man.
There it is. See? Item title. Oh, this is a picture.
Oh, are you
Wow, it's a picture. But it's on Plex, see? And a lot of people are using Plex. But yeah, so some stuff is still a little hard to find. You might have to torrent it or something like that. But yeah, so I get it. It is hard to find everything, but it's getting better.
Oh yeah.
These problems don't even come close to the biggest issue of them all, though. For the most part, the movies that you can't stream can be purchased in DVD or Blu-ray if you look hard enough. But if it's an original release from a streaming service, you may discover that there's no amount of money you can pay to get a physical copy. Last year, Mike Flanagan, the filmmaker behind horror movies like Hush, Gerald's Game, and Dr. Sleep, as well as series like The Haunting of Hill House, rather, and Midnight Mass, revealed that Netflix actively avoids physical releases of their original properties.
Yeah.
In the years I worked at Netflix, I tried very hard to get them to release my work on Blu-ray and DVD, he said during a panel discussion. They refused at every turn. It became clear very fast that their only priority was subs, and that they were actively hostile to the idea of physical media. It's up to companies like Criterion to break these movies out of streaming jail and given them a physical release. This is the only reason you can purchase hard copies of Roma, Marriage Story, and All of Us Strangers. The problem goes far beyond a cinephile's desire to own physical media, too. Film preservation relies on hard copies, be it film, tapes, or DVDs. Digital media is ephemeral. Licenses can be revoked, files can be corrupted, but they can also be moved, and quality can be watered down for the sake of easy storage. Physical media, whether it's sitting on your shelf at home or in the U.S. Library of Congress, isn't subject to the whims of an executive who has never heard of Akira Kurosawa or seen a low-budget cult film from the Czech New Wave. Flanagan highlighted this point, saying that while companies like Netflix pride themselves on being disruptors and have proven that they can affect great change in the industry, they sometimes fail to see the difference between disruption and damage, so much that they can find themselves, intentionally or not, doing enormous harm to the very concept of film preservation. The irony is that while owning physical media can look like a manifestation of a consumerist materialistic society, it's the digital realm that we have to worry about in that regard. Digital media is beholden to studios and corporations that are only concerned with the bottom line rather than the preservation of culture. In contrast, distributors like Criterion, Kino Lorber, Arrow Video, and Severin Films offer high-quality physical restorations of movies that often include audio commentary, essays, multiple cuts and cuts, and elaborate artwork. In short, physical media treats films as enduring works of art, while streaming platforms reduce them to content. I know which definition I want to stand behind. So, yeah. Everything they're saying in this is pretty much true. It's bad. But, the best advice I honestly have, if you want anything that's streaming and will never be released as a physical, pirate it. Just fucking download it. Torrent it. Sometimes the shit ends up on Internet Archive. You gotta do what you can, because this is about preservation. You know, yeah. If there's... nobody else will ever have a copy. Like, if Netflix isn't making copies, mm-hmm. nobody's going to have a copy.
They can up and decide to stop showing it.
And it's gone.
Yeah. Be your favorite movie.
Yeah. Could be. Favorite series? Everything. There's so many series on Netflix, it's ridiculous. And if you like a series, there's no way to get it unless you pirate it. There's no way to actually have a copy of it. And that's insane.
I've looking at my other streaming since I got Netflix. Yeah. Because it's got so much.
Okay, so, good news for us. Gen Z women are choosing older men over guys their own age. And it's not because they're sugar daddies.
Got the dude.
May-December flings are all the rage. According to reported dating trends and a flurry of TikTok chatter, Gen Z is warming to the idea that age is just a number, at least when the vibes are right. I totally get why Chelsea was with Rick and chose him over Saxon, an 18-year-old named Olivia said in a recent interview with The Independent, writing about the unlikely couple featured in the April 6th finale of HBO's hit series, The White Lotus. Saxon is such a fuckboy. Rick was concerned with bigger things, and Chelsea believed they were soulmates. The age gap didn't matter to her, and I totally get that. But this is a television show, so what about the real shit? Okay, we don't care about what they say. Alright, but there's a reason behind the romance, young hopefuls say. According to 19-year-old Lisa, who's dating someone in his late 20s and sat down with the outlet, I'd go on the odd date with someone my age, and more often than not, it would end up in straight-up argument when he started saying Andrew Tate makes good points. Her boyfriend, super chill, a feminist. Oh, God, yeah, that's what he says. Yeah. And weirdly, so are most of his mates. He missed all the Manosphere stuff and it shows. Did he now? The Gen Z women said to be leaning more progressive and outspoken, and Gen Z men increasingly choosing conservatism, many young women said they're struggling to find like-minded mates instead of finding better matches a few years up the generational ladder. There are numbers to back up the claims. Only 56% of Gen Z report having had a romantic relationship in their teens compared to 78% of boomers. That's not just a drop, it's a plummet. The so-called Gen Blend relationship could be an answer. Or it could be the answer. Yeah. Bumble says it's booming. With 63% of users reporting that they're totally fine dating outside their age group. And it's not just younger women seeking older men. Popular films, we don't care. And in real life, Hollywood's not exactly shying away. Look at the 21-year age gap between The Crown's Dominic West and wife Catherine Fitzgerald. Not that these couples always age well. Looking back, the 35 years ago, Chris Evans' Billy Piper and 47 years' Bill Wyman, Mandy Smith romances now trigger more ew than envy. The power dynamics were off, and even Gen Z knows it. The key thing that adds the ick from OK always has to be the power balance. Emma Hawthorne, a relationship expert at Seeking.com, told British GQ. Now, Seeking, you know what Seeking is? Seeking arrangements. They changed their name to Seeking in order to hide.
I am
not going to listen to what the fucking relationship expert at Seeking Arrangements, which is all about having an affair, is going to tell me about relationships. Because obviously she doesn't know much about them. Yeah. Hawthorne says that social media is playing a major role in destigmatizing unconventional couples. Platforms like TikTok give us access to diverse relationship models we may not have been previously exposed to in our social circles, she said to the publication. This exposure is shifting societal expectations. In other words, Gen Z is learning that love isn't just about finding someone your own age, it's about finding someone on your wavelength. Whether that person remembers Y2K or thinks it's a new crypto coin doesn't matter so much anymore. As Hawthorne puts it, partnering with someone older or younger gives an opportunity to learn from their unique experiences and cultural backgrounds. Yeah. Youth brings fresh perspectives while experience offers wisdom. I agree.
I mean, it is, it usually, when the man's older and the woman's younger, it usually works out really well. Now, men hooking up with older women,
yeah, I guess,
you know, that kind of works well too for them for a while. Men age like fine wine, and women age like milk.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I get it. I'm okay with these young girls. And, of course, they're more into me than the ones my age. That's just what I find.
Well, you know, a lot of profiles, when I even look at them at the moment, are I want someone with their shit together. And that's not hard to find.
No.
But, you know, it just depends on what age group, how much they mean it.
Right.
You know, they probably have their own underlining things they're looking for, too, that they aren't saying because they don't want to sound like a gold digger.
Right.
Cheap or anything like
that. Right. So, Bonnie Blue and Lily Phillips are racing to become the first woman to have sex in space following the Blue Origin trip.
Why would you race to be the biggest whore in the world?
No, this is beyond the world. She's going for the galaxy.
They finally get a transmission. They're like, damn, look at those whores.
OnlyFans sensations Lily Phillips and Bonnie Blue have been locked in a bitter feud for. I told you it was whore wars, and I knew it was gonna go into fucking space.
I'm gonna out-whore you. No, I'm gonna out-whore you.
Bitter feud for months, and now it's taking another turn as it's revealed that they're both trying to become the first star to have sex in space. Dun, 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 dun. The pair first fell out after Bonnie accused Lily of trying to steal her idea to break the world sex record by sleeping over 1,000 men. Now, after seeing Katy Perry and Lauren Sanchez take flight on Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin rocket, the X-rated entertainers are said to be competing to get a spot on the spacecraft.
They said they're already sending whores into space. Oh, that's,
they kind of are.
You know, that's bad. I mean, they are good-looking women, but it's like having a ribeye steak cooked just right and then dropping it in a pile of shit. I'm not going to want to eat it.
But they are reportedly desperate to use the Amazon. We have an article about that, too. But they are reportedly desperate to use the Amazon founder's rocket to perform gravity-defying sex acts, as Radar Online recently claimed. Both women want to host a galactic gangbang miles above the Earth's surface. They have been in competition for quite some time. God, somebody's going to die over this. Competition for quite some time over who can devise the most outrageous sex challenges, and are both looking to thrash out the logics of them, booking a place on the craft and getting down to a gangbang high above the Earth, a source told the publication.
That sounds
and
so
if
stupid.
They could show the footage on their OnlyFans page, the numbers would be astronomical. It remains to be seen which of the girls can get the idea
no
off the ground
intended.
First. Lily, 23, made headlines after betting 100 men in one night before announcing her plans to up the ante of sleeping with 1,000. However, Bonnie beat her the punch for having sex with 1,057 men in 12 hours.
That's so fucking... No. You gotta think how desperate those last 100 guys were.
Right.
I mean, anyone after one is bad, but...
Okay, so this just goes back to talk about all the other shit they did. So remember, she did the 23-year-old... the 23-year-old also shocked the internet sleeping with elderly men. We talked about the elderly men. Now we have... Bonnie is preparing to take on 2,000 men in 24 hours. That means she will have slept with over 3,000 men. 3,000.
Well, just in those two sessions, she slept way more than that, most likely. She's gonna have to put an ad out for premature ejaculators to make that record.
That is crazy.
It would be worth it because when you get in there, you want to get in there as long as you can.
Right.
You don't want to 3 pumps and like, you're done. But I didn't.
Right, absolutely. Sugar Baby, 29, who earns $40,000 a year going on dates with rich men, claims they don't even want sex. And Drex actually had something to say about this. He said it's the norm right now. It's what a lot of women are doing.
Well, not for me. I guarantee you can't get that amount from me.
A sugar baby has revealed how she earns 40,000 euros in lavish gifts and cash each year, and these men don't even want sex. Nova Jules, 29, from Dundee, claims her controversial hobby comes without the need for sexual favors, and she is in full control at every turn. She even claims that one man who she's never met in person paid for her rent for months in exchange for minimal online companionship.
Miss
Jules said that... Oh, yeah. Miss Jules said that she has been gifted trips to Bali and Milan and even a Rolex for the arrangement, which typically involves her accompanying wealthy men on holiday or to an event. She explained, "I don't want a relationship at this stage in my life, so why on earth would I date random men for free when I don't even want to pursue anything, when I can date random wealthy businessmen for a night for an income and for an experience that other men can't offer?" The 29-year-old said that the experience is all about the cash and holidays for me. In the past alone, she has been skiing to Italy, to events in Monaco, trip to Bali, a holiday in Portugal, and a city break in Milan. As well as luxurious holidays, her day-to-day costs are covered too, with her sugar daddies covering her bills and even her rent. She said, "I had a guy a couple of years ago who was an online-only sugar daddy, and he literally used to pay my rent for me every month. We had minimal conversation, and to this day, I don't know a single thing about him or have any idea what he looks like."
Oh, simp.
Yeah. He used to send me the money direct to one of my accounts, and that was his thrill for the month. They say that real life is more bizarre than fiction, and I could definitely confirm that. But despite what most may think... Most may think Miss Jules claims her companionship doesn't come with sexual favors. She said, "This is the part that people don't believe. These men don't even want sex. I've come across multiple reasons for this, the first one being that I make it perfectly clear that it's not something I can offer. The sugar daddies I have had encounters with have been more than happy with this rule due to different personal reasons."
Nope. I'm sorry.
Okay. They may have a sexual partner already, or they get a thrill off of a paying girl that they know doesn't want them sexually. That is true. I don't let these arrangements get too intense or frequent because I feel like that would be when the men would potentially want things to be more exclusive. I do it for a bit of sexy fun, and I only ever do it with men who can contribute something productive and beneficial to my life. Miss Jules has been a sugar baby for over 4 years, having first fallen into it after losing her job as a wedding planner during lockdown. She met an admirer in a local bar, and he suggested a business arrangement involving her attending an event with him as a bit of eye candy. Yeah, she now earns around $40,000 a year in cash and gifts this way, along $50,000 a year sharing adult content on OnlyFans. A recent survey by a super creator who specializes in management and AI for creators on the site revealed that the average 0.01 makes $233,000 per month. But Miss Jules has warned that the lifestyle isn't for everyone. She said, "Please don't be fooled by the fabricated stories you see online. This is something that has naturally and organically developed into my lifestyle. You have to be switched on to this kind of thing, and you need to associate with the correct kind of clientele."
I mean, this is part of the reason why our birth rate's declining and nobody knows how to meet a woman or a guy.
Oh, it's all messed up.
It's because they're bastardizing something that could be something way better.
New American censorship system. Netflix and Disney-backed anti-piracy bill has been slammed by a 30,000-strong activist group. The internet activist group, the EFA, EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, you should know who they are. They have stopped so many of these bullshit bills. Which reports over 30,000 members has slammed a new anti-piracy bill supported by the MPA, Motion Picture Association, whose members include companies with notable anime footprints like Sony, Netflix, and Disney. Earlier this month, the EFF slammed the Foreign Anti-Digital Piracy Act, FADPA, A new bill tabled by U.S. Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren to bolster efforts to block foreign piracy sites in the U.S. The bill outlines a legal process for rights holders to request that courts issue orders to service providers like ISPs, Verizon, and AT&T, and DNS resolution providers like Google and Cloudflare to block access to piracy sites. It's also worth noting that Amazon, Disney, and other major entertainment companies met to discuss anti-piracy solutions in private with Congressman Daryl Issa last month, who himself plans to table his own anti-piracy American Copyright Protection Act. While this bill has provisions to allow the court to conduct risk assessments into whether site blocking orders would affect innocent sites and leaves the method of blocking to the expertise of the service provider, the EFF argues that site blocking doesn't work and never will. IP blocking would be a likely method, and the EFF outlined how many unrelated websites around the world share the same IP address, possibly meaning that blocking one target can mean blocking thousands of unrelated sites. It highlighted multiple examples of collateral damage in Austria, Russia, and the U.S. While service providers are allowed to suspend blocking in this case, they wouldn't be financially liable for disruptions to innocent websites under FATPA, which may incentivize complacent or reckless site blocking. Depending on the court order, if a blacklisted piracy site tries to evade blocking, Lofgren's bill summary suggests that rights holders may be able to skip further court visits to instruct ISPs directly to block the news site, which may be open to abuse. Piracy site rebranding and VPNs may be seen as easy solutions to site blocking measures. The EFF also argues, rather, that evading site blocker orders is trivial, as sites can simply migrate all their content to a new domain in hours. This was seen when AniWatch rebranded to High Anime, believed to have been done after a site blocking order was issued in India. Nevertheless, rights holders may see this as a win regardless, as moving sites may disrupt communities and other previously enjoyed perks, which may be enough to push users to legal avenues. Nevertheless, as the EFF adds, customers eager to pirate can easily use VPNs to circumvent site blocking. Many VPN companies offer their services for free in exchange for unknowingly selling user data to third parties or packaging the service with malware. That is bullshit, the second one. Other worrisome provisions in the FATPA include expedited site blocking court orders for imminent live events, which can be issued without even waiting for the site to defend itself. Outside live events, rights holders can request that a granted site blocking order be extended for 12 months. The EFF concluded its statement by accusing private actors of building a new American censorship system by letting private actors get dangerous infrastructure-level control over internet access, adding if they don't remember how site blocking failed previously, they're going to find out the hard way, again, referencing the failed SOPA and PIPA bills of the last decade. Nothing says transparency like Daryl Issa holding private meetings with streaming giants. Wonder how big those bribes, oops, I mean political donations, are going to be. I vow to redouble my piracy efforts. Yeah, like, who's to say they'll stop at piracy sites anyway? We already have Visa and MC blocking Japanese sites for loli-related content. Yes, they are. They use the word Soropeta now on DL's site. But they are also blocking all other websites-related stores, including an otaku dating site. What? So who's to say they don't start blocking all us non-anime places in general, too? We license an anime they have, so we want the whole site blocked so people have to pay for our version of it. They will take down one site and five more will pop up. I couldn't imagine having to pay for streaming services between anime and TV shows, movies. It's like $40 a month that I can't afford. And they keep raising the prices year by year. It's nonsense. Everyone is so damn money hungry, it's disgusting. I wish I could take these millionaires and make them live off $500 a week like me. A nice fair wage of $20 an hour and 40 hours a week. $500 a week? Wow. Yeah. Well, yeah, but you don't know what state. Sometimes,
well, I'm doing about that if I didn't do insurance and other stuff.
Right. Okay, so you talked about some meat and some poop. 5-second rule put to the test. Sorry, guys. 5-second rule put to the test. Scientist reveals how long is too long to eat off the floor. They were floored by the results. Everyone's picked up fast food to prevent contamination. Excuse me. Everyone's picked up food fast to prevent contamination. But is this method tried and true or merely an old wives' tale? A Chicago microbiologist has put the so-called five-second rule to the test to scientifically gauge if it's safe to eat food that's fallen on the floor, as seen in a TikTok clip with over 1 million views. I thought it would be fun for people to know all the little nastiness that we don't think about every day, Nicholas Eicher, senior quality control analyst, told Jam Press. The researcher has amassed nearly 450,000 followers on his TikTok channel, where he uploads videos of himself testing the cleanliness of everyday items, from gas pumps to toothbrushes and even the inside of a dog's mouth. For his latest hygiene experiment, Eicher decided to place a petri dish on the ground for various time limits ranging from 0 seconds to 1 minute. He then incubated the samples in a cultivator to see the extent to which they bore bacterial fruit. As it turns out, every sample had evidence of microbial growth, proving that no amount of floor time is safe when it comes to contamination. Looks like even 0 seconds is too long, declared the scientist while holding up the corresponding petri dish, which was freckled with white bacterial spots. Coincidentally, the 5-second sample had roughly the same amount of growth, effectively disproving the rule. At one point, Eicher accidentally drops the dish while moving it, leaving an unsightly white splotch on the table. Meanwhile, the 10-second dish that had a bit more bacteria while the... I'm going to try that one again. Meanwhile, the 10-second dish had a bit more bacteria while the ones left for 20 and 30 seconds had noticeably more than that. Oh, he's actually doing this. So we can actually kind of look at this live. All right, so he's doing it now. Little tap. 5 seconds. Boom. 10 seconds. Boom. 20 seconds. Boom. 30 seconds. 1 minute.
On a table, right?
Yes. Okay, now he's going to check them in the thing. Here we go. Going to look at the samples. Looks like even 0 seconds is too long. That's how much bacteria was picked up for 0 seconds. 5 seconds. Looks about the same. That's how much bacteria. 5 seconds. Oh, drat. Yep, he spilled it. No!
Germs everywhere! Break out the lasso.
10 seconds is a bit more. 20 as well. And the full minute? Oh, no. 30 seconds. 30 seconds? That's that big boy on there. Minute looks just the same. 5 seconds or 60, it'll be nasty either way. Yeah. So there you go. 5-second rule is bullshit. If it falls on the floor, just fucking throw it away. Interestingly, the sample left for 1 minute at the same amount as the 5-second one. From these findings, Eicher concluded that whether the food is left for 5 seconds or 60, it'll be nasty either way. Viewers were revolted over the results, with one gawker writing, "Never eating food from the floor again. No, I live by this 5-second rule." While a third quipped that the microbes provided extra flavor. Despite the petrifying findings, many 5-second rule stalwarts refuse to swear off eating grub from the ground. "I'll pretend I didn't see this so I can keep blissfully doing the 5-second rule," declared one stubborn fan. "The real factor is just how badly you don't want to waste what was dropped," observed another. One skeptic scoffed, "Man, I was doing the 5-second rule throughout my childhood and I'm still healthy." However, others thought the results were tainted by the fact that Eicher didn't have a control sample that was only exposed to the air.
If I draw something like a Skittle on the floor at my house,
yeah,
floor's clean. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
If it's something wet, I can pick up something. Yeah, I'm not eating it at that point. That, and it's going to get carpet hair on it. All kinds of gunk.
Oh, have you been hearing about all the damn people we've deported from this country?
That's they wonderful.
The people that we've deported from this country are bad fucking news. She's literally, the press secretary has talked about, this one raped this many children, and raped this many children, and this many What are all these damn people doing in our fucking country?
Why don't we just start executing them?
Yeah.
You know that guy in Maine that they've been talking about?
Yeah.
Like, he had ties with the gang. That's why he got deported. And he was a legal alien that never became a citizen. And people are like, let them bring them back and all this, and having judges try to put holds on deporting them. I'm like, fuck that shit. I think judges that do that should be disbarred.
Yeah.
they're going against their constitution.
I'm telling you.
They don't have a right to be a judge.
It's great what he's doing. He's getting rid. You guys talk about the pedophiles. We brought them on in this fucking country.
Well, we didn't. Biden.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Biden did it. Because he thought, well, he thought, it's no problem for me, so I guess these guys are fine too, right?
Or the people controlling him like a puppet, because he didn't know where the fuck he was.
Well, I mean, Biden
still don't showered, know where the fuck he is.
Biden showered with his daughter.
Yeah, he's a
yeah, and what I mean is he said, oh, well, there's no problem with me, so I'll let all the rest in. And Trump said, no, hell no. That's what Trump said. Trump said no.
He was trying to bring his buddies over. Right? Yeah. We can all be pedophiles.
No, God, no.
Chris Hansen, we're going to deport Chris Hansen.
Shit. But Trump, man, my mother watched a press conference he did. He was talking with a fishery. Yeah. And she noted that Trump actually asks questions. He doesn't pretend to know everything. No. He goes in there and he says, well, what about this? What
he
about
has
that?
The
you
right
know,
people around.
And he's actually.
If he doesn't know stuff, he has the top professional.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, but like I said, he was talking with a fishery and they were talking about, you know, where all the fish in the country come from because most people don't know. Yeah. And he said, they have a Hawaiian fishery that they're trying to come back. And he says, look, if you get fish with our fishery that's been here since the 1900s, our fish are going to be a lot better than the fish that you're getting from all these other countries.
They're not genetically modified.
Yeah, they're going to be. Yeah, they're going to be. And I'm for that. And also she's talking about we're going to make microchips. We're going to make medicines.
Well, yeah.
We need to make all this shit in our country. That way we can fucking.
We don't have other countries holding us hostage and telling us what we can and can't do.
Right.
I don't think. Anyone from China, or not,
we don't need
citizens, I don't think Chinese citizens should be able to own land in America.
Right.
It's probably the CCP.
So,
Chinese.
And our last article that we have, I think, hold on, let me see what the time is. We've got time. Okay, so not our last article then. Okay, so we've got some more. All right, so we have to talk about the situation. I can talk about it here, so we'll talk about it. All right, so here's how every fucking thing started. LBC. Fury over rape and incest game that tells players to be women's worst nightmare as tech secretary slams PC giant. The world's biggest PC gaming platform is marketing an incest and non-consensual sex simulator on its platform. That is not what the developer stated. By the way, it's starting to turn out that she is a woman.
Hey.
A woman made No Mercy.
Oh, okay.
The computer game No Mercy centers around a male protagonist who is encouraged to become every woman's worst nightmare, never take no for an answer. Technology Secretary Peter Kyle, who is responsible for overseeing the government's online safety strategy, described the game as deeply worrying and demanded the tech giant take it down. The game launched on Steam last month, and is described by its own developers as containing violence, incest, blackmail, and what they describe as unavoidable non-consensual sex.
Oh,
wow, look at that. 167 people, very positive.
Yeah. It almost reminds me of that joke with Norm MacDonald. He's talking about two different charts.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's basically talking about how bad women drivers were, and then he's getting all these boos. He said, I will note that neither of these charts equal up to 100% because it was written by a woman. And then everybody like stops booing. He's like, oh, you don't know what to think now. They start laughing. He's like, oh, I'm just kidding with you. We don't hire women here.
It requires a card to buy, but it's minimal age verification checks with campaigners warning it could be downloaded by children. Adult themes exist in video games, but I'm so shocked and surprised by this, LBC's tech correspondent Will Gayett said. There's probably about 3.5 million active Steam accounts in the UK. I just don't see how this can be openly easily available and also importantly not removed when people like myself have reported it as unsuitable. LBC created a Steam account with full access to adult content by simply ticking boxes claiming to be 18 and was able to download the game. Tech companies make it easy as possible for kids to go on and put a fake age and put in a card. Child mental health expert. Oh, it's always the kids. She says many parents will be under the misconception that sites like Steam are a game shop, a social network, and therefore assume they're properly moderated. In reality, Steam is not signed up to be any age-gating frameworks like PEGI, a content rating system established to help European consumers make informed decisions when buying video games. For the
PEGI sounds
approved.
Filthier than the damn guy.
PEGI is just what they've always used to determine. It's basically like our ESRB.
My new girlfriend, she's into weird stuff. Her name's Peggy.
When buying video games through the use of approved age recommendations and content descriptors, anyone can upload a game for sale on the site, which then sits alongside products developed by regulated mainstream game studios. Oh, they want them regulated, huh? That's what you want. You want regulated Steam. LBC reported to the game to Steam as inappropriate 5 days ago. It has still not been taken. It has been taken down now. It's also been taken down from itch. There's nowhere to get it anywhere. The game's presence online also raises questions about the regulator Ofcom's ability to properly moderate content. It began its crackdown on harmful online content last month as part of the government's Online Safety Act. But the regulator told LBC it can't investigate individual complaints. Wow. Okay, so this had to do with Ofcom. That's despite Chief Executive Dame Melanie Dawes saying as part of LBC's Online Safety Day last month, our under 18s deserve a very different experience to the one they're getting now. So pornography and a significant takedown ranking of things like violent content and misogyny. Boy, they're really gonna screw with the UK's kids, aren't they? The body is due to publish the Children's Codes, which will set out requirements for sites to protect young people online. Tech firms will then have 3 months to carry out risk assessments. I'm very interested to see how Steam's parent company, Valve, will justify that topics like this are acceptable in a game, and if they do deem them acceptable, they should make it a hell of a lot harder for your everyday consumer to be able to find, Giet said. It's intriguing to see where this fits under the online safety bill. Mr. Kyle is facing pressure over the potential watering down of the Safety Act, insisted that Steam should remove the game from its marketplace. He told LBC, we expect every one of those tech companies to remove content as soon as they possibly can after being made aware of it. That's what the law requires. It is what I require as a Secretary of State. It's certainly how we expect platforms who operate and have privilege to access to British society and British economy to do. Guess what, Britons, UK? They're just going to make all adult games illegal in your fucking country. So, congratulations. Just like they are in Germany. Mr. Kyle also suggested that the regulators should make a call on whether the game should remain online.
You know, the UK is already having so much trouble, mm-hmm. So many other things.
I know.
Like immigration.
Yep. Oh, they're screwed.
Oh, yeah.
Ofcom is the regulator, Mr. Kyle said. They're tasked with enforcing and they will make the judgment as to whether content is removed in an appropriate time. Ofcom is going to fuck the UK, dude. A spokesperson for the Games Rating Authority said that game ratings provide parents and players information about the content of video games. And the UK physical game... And again, guys, I'm not for children getting access to this game or any game that we play on this channel at all. But it is going to make it hell to be an adult in the UK and want to play adult material. Yeah. That is fucking ridiculous. A spokesperson for the Games Rating Authority said game ratings provide parents and players information about the content of games. And the UK physical game releases must carry the PEGI age rating by law. Digital games are not legally required to carry an age rating, but the majority of leading stores use the trusted PEGI age rating process to provide confidence to consumers. Although games on Steam can optionally apply for that rating via our classification process, it's not mandated by the platform prior to game's release. The Game Rating Authority has not classified this game and has not been approached to classify it since its release. Former Secretary of State for Culture, Digital Media, and Sport Nadine Dorries, who championed the online safety bill in its original form, it's appalling and feeds into the insidious Andrew Tate narrative. Wow. Andrew Tate is just...
I mean,
they used him for
everything.
There's
a lot about him I don't agree with.
But yeah.
a lot of stuff about toxic femininity and all that shit. Being the today's feminist, all bullshit.
Yeah. The insidious Andrew Tate narrative, which is taking hold amongst young men who spend too much time online. I hate banning things, but sadly social media has taken us to the place whereby for the protection of children, vulnerable adults, and women, we have to. This needs to be removed online immediately.
Yeah, and the thing is about feminism, the women that are pushing it so much are the ones that couldn't get a man if they tried in the first place, and then they're just wanting women that can get men.
So,
not say they can't get a man, but they aren't going to try to apply themselves.
This is Nadine Dorries.
What a cunt.
That's her.
What does she do?
That's the one that wanted the game banned.
Yeah.
She's a Conservative Party politician for the UK.
Well, I'm conservative, but I think everyone should have the right to make their decision.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's her. We don't have any pictures when she was younger.
Because she's always looked like an old bitch.
Maybe she always has. Oh, sorry. I didn't. You know I type things fast, so. Alright. 3-2 portrait. She's in Parliament, obviously. Oh, what is this? When she was young? Didn't look too bad when she was young.
How long ago was that?
Probably not that long. She's not that old. She's really not. She's probably, hold on. She was born in 57, so it was kind of old. She's 70. She's 70.
You're in the older lady.
Into that old. Good Lord.
Find out something every day.
But she's a British author and a former politician.
You're robbing the casket, aren't you?
So, she's an author. What the hell did she write?
How to be a bitch. She didn't.
They
have
probably
any
have another word for that.
When it had her sources at the end of the book, it just said me.
The Four Streets Saga series, the Lovely Lane series, the Terabeg series, A Wicked Woman.
A Wicked Woman.
A Wicked Woman.
A wicked woman, you say? Like someone that tells others how to live their life?
Draws on her Liverpool Catholic background. The plot, let's see. The Doctor No, The Wolf, The Dark Lord. So what in the world? So what were these books about? What is The Wicked Woman? Kind of curious in some burqa ban.
A burqa ban?
Yeah, she did do that.
Well, at least she's good for something.
The Bellefonte legacy?
We don't need people looking like they're on a ninja mission, hopping around.
Let's look up her books. The Four Streets Saga. Hey, these kind of look like romance novels.
Are they?
Might be.
Desperate woman novels, you say?
Nadine Dorries.
Tell us what?
The Angels of Lovely Lane, The Children of Lovely Lane. Hold on a minute. The Terabeg series. I wonder if that has anything to do with... Let's see. Captivating new novel. Married to death, she decides to leave her home to find her mother's sister. Meanwhile, there's a long buried secret, brilliant read. Brilliant. I'm not seeing anything. A pleasant read, but nothing special.
There you go.
Yes.
Just like her views.
Children, mothers, Christmas angels. She writes like
Hallmark
shit.
Romance novel?
Maybe. It's like British crap.
I watched a Hallmark romance.
Like.
And I was like, when's the fucking gonna start?
Some people are gonna get like Downton Abbey kind of shit. Oh, it's. No. No, I can't do that.
I can't watch that horse shit.
I can't either.
Now, I like watching a history documentary.
Yeah, those are cool.
On stuff, but you're trying to make a boring era interesting.
Yes.
Now, Peaky Blinders, there's a fucking show for you.
Now, whoops, sorry about that. Okay, so gamesindustry.biz, which if you guys didn't know, this is the site for the industry, the gaming industry in general. If you want to follow the industry, this is what you need to check out. It's pretty much, like, they'll do some announcements and stuff, but it's, you know, I know, like, a lot of you guys, you'll use, like, different gaming sites. This is the business site. So this is going to have all the big things. And this made one of the big things. So, here's the problem, guys. The fact of the matter is, and now this game pretty much set up Steam to pretty much get to the point where they're going to just have to take out a lot of adult content now. It's going to be hard to find these games on Steam because of all this shit. So, there's going to be a lot of games that people are going to be upset that aren't going to be coming to Steam. And it's like, why can't... You're just going to have to go get them elsewhere. So, the UK minister has slammed Steam for explicit game promoting non-consensual sexual... Non-con...
Non-congenital?
Non-con is what we call it. And... sexual violence. Okay. Zurich Games has announced it will withdraw a sexually explicit visual novel from Steam after it was removed from sale in the UK, Canada, and Australia. Posted to the game's Steam page, which is no longer accessible to those who have not previously purchased the game, the developer defended its title but confirmed it will be removed from the platform and has further defended its title on F95. I've been reading her statements. She is not stupid. She is not stupid. Let me tell you something. That game may have not had good English, but she sure did.
Yeah.
And it makes me... It's got me kind of questioning a lot of things. It's like, how the fuck is she so good in English, but her game itself was really broken?
Probably writing it and saying it's two different things, maybe.
No,
like you can learn Japanese, but then you got to learn all the writing for Japanese.
She's very good English speaker.
Where's she from?
I don't know. We don't know. It's anonymous.
Oh,
we don't know.
What'd it sound like?
Posted to the game's Steam page, which is no longer accessible to those who have not previously purchased the game. The developer defended its title, but confirmed it will be removed from the platform. We don't intend to fight the whole world, and we specifically don't want to cause any problems for Steam and Valve, the developer said. It said, in response to the game being removed from Steam in the UK, Home Secretary Yvette Cooper told LBC that legislation is being introduced as part of the Online Safety Act that will make sure the platforms of all kinds meet certain standards. Oh, wow.
Man, that sounds like
that
shit.
Sort of vile material is already currently illegal, said Cooper. We have stronger powers being brought in as part of the Online Safety Act, and those powers are being rolled out at the moment. Wow. They are pretty much going to screw with the adult content on Valve, on Steam. So, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be another country come out with one, and it'll just be...
Yeah, fun. Maybe that's what it'll be. They're gonna have to. So, let's go ahead and read the statement. Because I have the statement. I'll fucking read it. I'll literally fucking read you what she was writing. What she has to say on this. So, okay. I gotta find it real fast, guys. But don't worry, we're gonna be there. Alright, here we are. Alright, let's see what it says. Wow, people are still commenting. Give it a minute. All right, here it is. The developer says, the truth is that 99.99% of these morons commenting about it online have never even played it. Same goes for the organizations trying to fight it. They've never played it either. And those politicians making all that noise, they've definitely never played it. This game barely contains any violence at all. and the rape content is more about blackmail than using force. But how could they know that since they've never actually played the game? There's a laughing face. But honestly, it wouldn't make any difference because once something gets publicity and some random Karen who never watches porn hears about any fetish content, and she completely loses it. If someone told her to freak out about people being murdered in GTA, she'd be screaming about that too. The whole Steam battle was pointless because politicians are just as clueless and don't understand a thing. They just parrot whatever they're told while trying to get in the spotlight, so the game was going to disappear from Steam sooner or later. They don't understand how the internet works either, or that these organizations actually did 10,000 times more harm by drawing kids' attention to it. They're the reason it's now all over TikTok and Instagram with zero age verification.
They'll find a way of getting it.
Development on No Mercy hasn't stopped. More updates are coming. And honestly, I'd recommend every adult game developer to slightly tweak their game description and honestly report themselves to these organizations. It's free advertising. These people are too stupid to ever figure that out. The whole controversy was because of the game's description. It was really dark because it was designed to grab attention, but it barely related to what you actually did in the game. Yeah.
And there's way worse ones out there.
Yes. Like Raptus.
What, Maggot Baits?
Yep, Maggot Baits. But that's not on Steam. Neither is Raptus. However, this UK thing could mess with sites like that. And at least, you know what'll happen? That'll just block the UK from using them.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Well, they do in our area for certain porn sites, too.
Yeah. And not only that, but she said that everybody on the team is a adjusted individual. They're healthy, adjusted individuals. There's nobody, you know. And by the way, they had hundreds, if not thousands, of people test the game.
I'll tell you, it's the same thing about gun control. Like, they're trying to...
Yeah.
Just because they think everyone's going to go out and go raping, doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's not like fucking Death Wish 3. If you haven't seen that, Death Wish 3, that's literally everybody goes out raping and you need a gun to protect yourself.
That's literally everybody. Well, think about 50 Shades of Grey. They didn't stop them from putting that smut out there.
Yeah.
And it is steamy scenes.
Yeah, I have not seen it.
Oh, yeah. You might as well be watching porn. If you ever wanted to see what a famous person fucking looked like.
Yeah. And people are saying it's not very hardcore on F95 either. So. But you know what also she had to say? She had to say, and I quote, "The amount of emails and threats that we got were more sick than anything in our game."
Yeah.
And that really, really says something about people.
I mean, they'll tell you, evil doesn't begot evil. I mean, if that's how they're viewing it as evil, I mean, it could be. But then you need to ban all the romance novels that women purchase.
Yeah.
And, take away sex toys from the Walmart aisle and, mainly for women, by the way.
Mainly.
Nothing for us rapists out there to satisfy our urges. Gotta get our raping hats and our raping gloves.
Yeah.
Yeah, go a raping. It's that time of year again, everybody.
No. It's that time of year, everyone. We're eating them.
Got my good raping pants on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Easy access.
All right. So, we have one final article, and this is about something very important. That's the only reason why I'm doing it. It is about the site that you will see this on. And you may already know this, but I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
So, all right.
You know, too,
no thanks.
Before we go on to the other, I know, like, gun control, you think about UK. They got all guns taken out of, people can't have guns. Stabbings are off the chart there. Like, if you take something away, it's only going to be replaced by way worse.
Yeah.
I'd much rather be shot than stabbed.
So, all right. BitChute discontinues video sharing service for UK residents over online censorship laws. Yes, that's the one we're on. BitChute, a platform widely recognized for its commitment to free expression and open discourse, has officially withdrawn its services from the UK, citing untenable regulatory conditions of the UK's recently enacted censorship law, the Online Safety Act. The move comes in direct response to regulator Ofcom's newly enhanced authority, which enables the communications regulator to levy fines, as high as 10% of a company's global revenue if deemed non-compliant with the Act's sweeping censorship demands. The shift in regulatory climate marks what some view as a profound erosion of digital freedoms in the UK. It is. BitChute's decision could serve as the first signal of a broader exodus, with other international platforms potentially following suit to avoid the heavy-handed oversight now codified in British law. In a detailed public statement posted to its website, BitChute explained the rationale behind this drastic step. After careful review and ongoing evaluation of the regulatory landscape in the United Kingdom, we regret to inform you that BitChute will be discontinuing its video sharing service for UK residents. Now, the interesting thing is that BitChute is based in the UK. The platform highlighted the unpredictable and burdensome nature of the new legal framework, emphasizing the Act's expansive mandates on content moderation and the discretionary powers it grants Ofcom to enforce them. By the way, we couldn't even have this video right now if BitChute played by the rules. BitChute warned that these provisions create an environment of legal ambiguity, placing platforms at the mercy of vague standards and severe penalties. The BitChute platform has always operated on principles of freedom of speech, expression, and association. However, the evolving regulatory pressures, including strict enforcement mechanisms and potential liabilities, have created an operational landscape in which continuing to serve the UK market exposes our company to unacceptable legal and compliance risks. The company has implemented immediate restrictions. UK residents can still upload content to the platform, but none of their videos will be accessible to other UK-based users. Their content will remain viewable to users in other countries who can interact with it as usual. The significant change will be that this UK user posted content will not be viewable by any other UK user, but will be visible to other users outside of the UK. This effectively means that while UK-based creators are not entirely barred from participation, their voices are now digitally cordoned off from fellow citizens as a result of legal constraints rather than technical ones. BitChute expressed regret over the decision, describing it as an unfortunate necessity prompted by the untenable demands of the Online Safety Act. The company reiterated its commitment to providing a space for open dialogue, but not at the cost of exposing itself to disproportionate regulatory risk. The decision was not taken lightly. It reflects our commitment to maintaining the highest standards of compliance, protecting our community, and ensuring that our platform remains a safe and sustainable place for creative expression globally. The development marks a stark warning for other platforms and users concerned with the implications of state-controlled content regulation. As enforcement of the Online Safety Act ramps up, digital freedom in the UK faces new constraints that many fear will silence dissenting voices and throttle open conversation under the guise of safety. For now, BitChute remains accessible to users outside the UK, and its global operations will continue. Okay, guys, so, gonna tell you right now, if we go down, and if we are no longer allowed to bring you guys stuff on BitChute, we'll be on MGTOW.TV. I have no idea where the hell that server is, and I don't fucking care where that server is. But that's where we're going to be able to bring you any of this content.
If you can't find us.
Any adult content, anything. We'll be on MGTOW.TV. That's MGTOW.TV. That's where we're going. We might be putting some stuff on Rumble, but I haven't been able to do that yet. I haven't been doing that yet. I suspect that if BitChute goes down, we'll be putting our shows and things on Rumble. And, of course, we'll be putting our more saucy content. And we'll be putting that on MGTOW.TV. So, yeah, there's not so many people on there, but I think a lot of people will come on there because they're going to want a place where they're not, you know, regulated. Now, I don't know how MGTOW.TV is going to deal with that either, but it's going to be hard. This is very different because the UK decided to just go completely full 1984. And I have no idea what the fuck... I don't know. I don't know what the end game is. I have no idea.
Well, you think Muslim influence might be part of it?
I have no
idea.
Because,
you know, that's why they cover their women, because they don't want to be tempted by their sexuality.
Hmm.
But, you know, if you read the... I'm not going to get into all the reasons why it's
right.
fucking nuts.
I mean, some of these you have to pay for, but I think it's a pretty interesting site. Reclaim the Net, obviously, is the one that's bringing us this information without having to pay for a subscription, which is great. But yeah, guys, we're on BitChute, and unfortunately, yeah, it's... I mean, it sucks that our UK fans can no longer look at our content. Sorry, guys. I guess you gotta blame Ofcom and the Online Safety Act, which is absolutely fucking insane.
Well, I mean, you can always fight back and start protesting to ban stuff that really affects society. Like, start banning feminist propaganda.
Right.
And, hell. Like,
well, you novels. See...
Oh, you start taking shit you see how... away. Well, wait. Why not the book about... Why do you have to get rid of the book about... a girl getting her ass eat out.
Right.
10 minutes at a time. But you know, it's just fucking ridiculous.
Yep. That's where we're at. This is what we're reporting to you guys in 2025. This is literally what we're reporting to you in April of 2025.
It's basically a person saying, we don't trust you're an adult enough
to yeah.
Be responsible.
We're over here in the U.S., and we're, like, really, like, look.
Meanwhile, we're going to let as many people come in from other countries and take your jobs.
Yeah.
Your livelihood.
I heard they're raping.
Stab the shit out of you for no reason.
I heard they're raping over there.
Raping?
They're literally doing, like, Death Wish styles of raping. I know I keep saying Death Wish, but...
escape in that country.
I know I keep saying Death Wish, but anybody hasn't seen the Charles Bronson, like, Death Wish movies? That's literally what we're fucking kind of talking about. Like, you can go and watch the Charles Bronson Death Wish movies, 1, 2, 3, and I haven't seen 4 and 5 yet, but yeah. 1, 2, and 3. And you will literally see, like, the kind of, like, gangs where they're coming in and they're raping people and they're you know, harassing people on the streets.
It was
and
during different, it was during the 70s
and
when
the 80s.
Crime was rampant. And vigilante movies were hit.
Yes, 70s and the 80s. And what I'm saying is, this is what's going on right now in that country. Remember, in Death Wish, people weren't really allowed to have a gun. And they went over to the Jewish couple. And the Jewish couple had a gun, and they told him, they said, look, we've got to confiscate that gun. We've got to get rid of that gun.
Yep.
And I said, but it's the only thing we have for protection. He said, sorry, you've got to go. If not, we're going to put you in jail. So they took the gun because they're not allowed to have a gun. And the only way that the vigilante was allowed to do his thing is because he got protection from the damn police chief, who actually ended up helping him fight against the gangs because they went and they called the bikers in. And then you had all of these
people. Don't tell them the whole plot.
I mean, folks, I really think you guys need to watch this movie. Because everything that they're doing in it, although a little bit exaggerated, you should see that last couple scenes where they're having that war. They can do that stuff. You can see how rough these gangs can actually get. You're like, they can do that? They could if they wanted to. If these people were this fucking crazy,
well, shoot, people
they
in the
could
UK
do that.
Probably hear about it all the time.
No, I'm talking about...
Well, I mean, back in the day...
They were using Molotovs to destroy blow-up buildings.
Yeah.
You didn't even realize you could do... Like, they tore that whole fucking town out. And they said, this is our territory. And like I said, man, that's rough. That's hard to hear about over here in the U.S., you know? This stuff's getting crazy, right? So, we definitely... even though UK people can't see us, yeah, we definitely understand, like, We sympathize with you, but...
Find a way to defend yourself if you're in the UK.
Yeah, if you're even hearing us. Everybody else, I guess, I don't know. I mean, because we're not able to get...
That sounds like a terrible place to visit now. You know, yeah. 10 years ago,
you
had been like, oh man, I'd love to go to
London
and avoid... Yeah, London.
See the Eiffel Tower, Big Ben, all that.
Go see my family's castle and...
Absolutely.
I think might be more in the Scottish territory.
It's gotten crazy, guys. But I don't know. This is just the UK. I don't know about the rest of Europe yet. I guess maybe that'll happen soon. Maybe even America. I don't know what's going to happen. But they're trying to censor the internet, and they're trying to rein it all back in. And I guess it's up to us to fight.
Yeah, I got like 3 different parts of the UK but in my bloodline.
It's not it's me. Crazy. It's not about me, though, guys. It's about you, like the young people. I can't do shit. All I can do is tell you what's going on, but I'm just an older guy. I can't really do a whole lot. But you guys, you know the technology and the TikToks and all that kind
of
shit.
Well, you can't do as much here as you can on your home front.
Like I said, you guys are the ones that can speak to power, right? And we do promote nonviolence. There's a lot of ways to speak to power that don't involve violence, obviously. There's a lot of ways to speak up and let
patriotically.
People, yeah, let everybody, you know, just know what, you know, let them know how you feel, right? And do that in a nonviolent way. And make sure that, you know, you let the people that are in charge know what's going on. Hey, you know, this... Is this going to affect me for this? Is this going to affect me for that? Because it's all questions you need to be asking.
What next? Oh, you're going to run me out because you need more room for immigrants?
Right. Yeah.
It's
scary.
People don't think about it because they're thinking from an empathetic perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But these the people that are coming into that country have no empathy for the people.
No, they don't.
The fact... If you're not Muslim, a lot of them that are super strict would rather see you dead than even look at you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I wouldn't want that coming into the country.
No.
And then they try to change your laws. I'm not saying it's them. Because, you know... You already saw one of the ladies pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't... I doubt she's Muslim. You already said she had a Catholic background.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's... I mean, there's... I'm just saying there's so many factors in that country, it's ruining it.
Yeah.
I mean, not that... You know, I think America's the best country.
Right.
But that's maybe because I'm a little biased. I live here. And it's awesome. Now, it wasn't about last year, about this time.
Right.
The price of eggs have gone down, everybody.
Yeah.
We can sleep safely and soundly.
Yeah.
I like it. Just in time for Easter.
Absolutely. Okay. So, that's all we're going to do for this one, guys. Sorry we had to report this awful news, but that's how we ended it. All right, guys. So, this is the Grim Lord and Penetration, and we'll see you guys next time on the Grim Articles Show.
Later.
Enjoy the decline. Obviously, if we're losing our fucking freedoms, it's not getting better. I'm out.